We will speak of your greatness and of your power. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask tonight that this will be your meeting, not a meeting that men organize, but a moment of appointment with heaven. Oh, brood in our midst. Shine forth, he that dwells between the cherubims. We thank you. We glorify your name. Be exalted today, be exalted forever. In Jesus' mighty name, we do pray. Amen. Such moments of worship are times of adventure in the Spirit. At times when grace is made available for us to explore places in Christ Jesus. It's a moment that you need to seize and ensure that you strive to be sucked in by the Holy Ghost so that the Lord can enlarge himself in your vessel. It is a great privilege to be numbered in him. And we celebrate his great name. Make someone welcome as you take your seat. I know the whole place is jammed, but if you can as much as hear the sound of my voice, the Spirit, the grace that is upon it, will bring you a blessing. We'll take two scriptures for the evening. It is difficult to preach a prepared sermon on a day like this when the presence of God decides to come on the ground. So we'll just flow with the Holy Ghost as he gives us utterance. Hallelujah. All right, we'll take two verses of scripture. The first will be Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, beginning from verse number 6, and then we'll go to Isaiah chapter 61. When? Oh my. Hallelujah. Are you with me? When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Verse 8 is my emphasis. We are still hunting for manifestations. All right? It means God will work something into you that he intends to work out in the days to come. That's how God operates. And that's what the Spirit of God is tabernacled on your inside, not on your hand, not on your head. His workstation is inside of you. So anything he wants to do, he works it in with the hope that it will be worked out, it will be made manifest. And so if we allow God to prosper in that which he intends to do inside of us, very soon the whole world will know about it because it's going to be made manifest. If you find someone that claims to be walking with God, and he's been running on that path for like 10 years, and there are no evidences to show that God was hiding inside of his spirit man in his workstation, trying to create the pathways of spiritual possibilities that now abound in spite of the devil, then that man is not God he met. Because according to scripture, the Bible says, though thy beginning be small. You see, it's safe to begin small with God. It is very safe. But you see, you never end small, because the Bible says that I later end, what will happen to it? So if that increase begins to come, then we can justify the fact that all the times of silence, God has been working some stuff into you. Hallelujah. All right, we're about to cross into the second era, the second level of God's internal administration. So I'd like you to turn again. We get a support scripture from the Old Testament that is very, very descriptive of the emphasis in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Amen. All right. In summary, the subject of the book of Isaiah chapter 61 is the move of the Spirit. And there are several levels of the move of the Spirit that God brings into his workstation in your heart. And the extent to which God is allowed to establish that which he came to do is the degree to which we're expecting manifestations in the days to come. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 60 talks about the move of the word. That's what we're going to see tomorrow morning. But Isaiah chapter 61 talks about the move of the Spirit. You see, in God's workstation inside of your heart, he has two tools that he works with. One is the word. Another is the Spirit. And what the prophet was trying to give us perspective about in the book of Isaiah chapter 60 are the dynamics of the move of God. When the word of the Lord gains entrance into the heart of man, there are some reactions that take place. And these reactions are adequately captured in prophetic language in the book of Isaiah chapter 60. And in Isaiah chapter 61, we see the move of the Spirit. So the move of the Word and the move of the Spirit are the utensils that God uses to establish his kingdom in our hearts. Hallelujah. If you see a believer that was only exposed to the Word of God, to the move of God's Word, the dynamics, the principles around it, the life in it, the capacity of the Word of God to be an instrument that will establish conviction within the crucible of our heart. If you see believers that were only exposed to the move of the Word, there is an obvious limitation that they have. God wasn't allowed the liberty to bring his full toolkit into the dressing of their destiny. So we have two utensils there. But for tonight, my emphasis is the move of the Spirit. And so Jesus says, Jesus has not quoted this scripture yet. Isaiah prophesied, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Hallelujah. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Hallelujah. Now, in order to explain with very clear explanation the issue that is obtainable in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, when the Bible says, "And he shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon him." Now, my objective is to show us what God does inside of you and the corresponding manifestation that begins to take place because God has accomplished another layer of work inside of you. You see, we saw yesterday how that the manifestation of the fact that your spirit has been regenerated, it are fruits of this regenerated human spirit. It will manifest fruit, and this fruit happens to be the character of Christ. Christ will be the one on display. Your choices, your words, your actions, your pursuit, all will be captured to the end that Christ is revealed. If that was not worked in, there is no way it can manifest. Did you get that? All right, so we're going to another layer now. God is saying something here. You will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If you still remember what happened to David, you will notice that David was anointed way before he became king. He was anointed king about 13 years before he became king. If you have a good grasp of the Old Testament, you will be able to understand what is at work in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. David had no connections that would lead him to the palace. He didn't have people's phone numbers that he could call to take him to the palace. What happened was that once upon a time he was anointed king of Israel. And that anointing, first of all, manifested in his music ministry. Are you still with me? The anointing, first of all, manifested in his music ministry. It was a recommendation that he got because of the potency of his music ministry that gave him a place in the palace because the king had a demonic issue. And the potency of David's music ministry had the ability to tame the demons. Now, so, are you there? So he was anointed to be king. So the anointing began to make him gravitate towards the palace. To be something, that anointing will supernaturally begin to make you gravitate in the direction of the time came, he had to run again into the wilderness. But the anointing that was upon him had a destination for him, and that destination was where? Now listen, in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you are not following me.
Thank you.
It's an instrument of migration. It moves you from where you are, your current context. If nothing happens to that anointing, are you there? It's a migratory facility. It will mobilize you to advance into what you were anointed to become. It doesn't matter your context, doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter your situation, as long as an anointing has come upon your spirit, it is an instrument for migration. So in the Acts of the Apostles, the Bible says, your destination is power. Just like David's destination was power in the palace. He was going to operate as a king. He was going to wield national power, territorial power. And what God did was that he sent the prophet to anoint him. And the anointing became the vehicle that would lead him into power. Are you still there? Now, before I progress, I want to do this very clinically, very consciously, very deliberately. Because this anointing is spiritual, it is supernatural, they are the initial evidence that reveals that that anointing has come upon you is that you will have the capacity to speak in tongues. That's just the initial evidence. Are you there? Now, I'd like us to look at speaking in tongues a little in this journey so that we understand. And just think, if you are here and you are not baptized with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, can I see your hand? Raise it higher. All right, so we are going to attend to you somewhere during the course of this delivery in the name of Jesus Christ. Can we do Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, and see what happened on the day of Pentecost that led to the people getting filled with the Holy Spirit? Like I said, they are only going to be manifestations, external and visible manifestations, if something has been worked into your spirit. So, in the issue of the anointing with the Holy Spirit, the first evidence that shows that something has been worked in is that you speak in tongues. So let's go to Acts chapter 2 and let's do an analysis quickly. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, how many of you still remember that Jesus gave an instruction to the disciples that they should tarry in Jerusalem until they are endued with power from on high, until they receive the promise of the Father? So when the guys came to Jerusalem, their first preoccupation for 10 days was to ask God for His Spirit. The Bible says, if you've been evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? So what they were doing in the upper room was asking for the Holy Ghost. Now, I would like us to do something quickly. Are you with me? To draw a chart. On this side, you write man's part. On the other side, write God's part. Because I want us to analyze what took place on the day of Pentecost. And if we analyze it properly, it will be easy for us to understand it adequately. Okay? So, the first thing that happened in Acts chapter 2 is that these guys came into the upper room and they began to ask for the Holy Spirit. Now, who are the guys that asked for the Holy Spirit? The disciples. So, in that your chart, which part of the table is it going to be? Man's part. So, first of all, they asked for the Holy Spirit. And you know the Bible says that how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? It seems the scripture is very, very emphatic about the fact that if you get to ask of the Spirit, God will not deny you your request. So it means that when they ask for the Spirit, God answer. I know you know how to pray. Do you know how to answer prayer? All right, so the answer aspect is on which side? Of course, right. I'm doing this for a purpose. Just stay with me. And then the next thing now is, because God has answered, God decided to release his spirit. So who did that? God. So it's God's side. God released the spirit. And then the people that were asking had to receive the spirit by faith. So is it God that received? It's the people that received. So on man's side, you put receive. You get it? Stay with me. And then, now that they had received, God also gave them utterance. So, on God's side, you write what? Oh, this is my class, it's not. On God's side, you write what? Utterance. And then on man's side, you write, they spoke. So it was God that gave the utterance. It was human beings that did what? Now, can you read the things on the God side in your chart? Number one, he did what? Answer. Number two, he did what? Number three, he did what? He gave utterance. Now listen, everything that happens on God's side, in the spirit realm, from God's realm, the only way you can judge that thing is by spiritual judgment. If something happens in the realm of man, and we want to analyze it, we can analyze it as men. But if you want to judge something that is spiritual, because I know that Satan is in the business of trying to counterfeit the things God does. So if we are going to judge accurately spiritual things, we will need the help of the Holy Spirit, who happens to be a witness, who happens to be the truth, to bring his perspective and to bring his testimony. That's how we test spiritual things, so that we do not become victims of counterfeit. Are you with me? All right, so, are you still there? Okay. Now, if someone is speaking in tongues, for instance, the utterance that he is receiving, for which he is speaking, that utterance came from God. Only the Holy Ghost, who happens to be God, can bear witness with your spirit that utterance either is from him, or the utterance is not from him because it is on the God part in your list. Good. I will show you a scripture that will give us an idea of how we measure utterance. But stay with me. That's why it is, because utterance is something that comes from the realm of God. That's why if you read the book of Acts of the Apostles, you will never find any scripture that supports setting up an inspectorate to judge people's tongues from the way it sounds. Why? Because utterance is on the God part. Is that correct? When we go deeper into the theology of utterance, you will find out that what makes utterance valid is not the way it sounds. Oh, you're not here. Okay. You don't believe me. All right, let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 16. I want to establish some matters quietly, so that we can lay many things to rest. Did you ever see Apostle Paul going around the churches checking the way the tongues comes out? Now, there is no inspection to see how many syllables are present. That's a humanistic approach to judge a spiritual thing. If you're going to judge a spiritual thing, you must be on the God side, aided by the Holy Spirit to judge a spiritual matter. You cannot judge something that is spiritual with parameters that are earthly. That's an error. Come with me to the book of Mark, chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Now, in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, I will like us to look upon the scripture quickly. Remember, it is only that which is walked in that can be walked out. You, in the issue of tongues, if you are not the one responsible for giving utterance, you cannot determine how it will sound. It is the custodian of utterance that gives us capacity to speak in this spiritual language that determines what we speak. Your speaking is a victim of the utterance that you have received. And that utterance is in the God part. Alright? So don't ever think that any attempt to set up an inspectorate to investigate tongues is something that is biblical within the scope of New Testament context. It can be... let me leave this. I don't want to press for it. Now come here, come here. Come here. He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Underline new. What's the Greek word for new? It's kainos. What's the meaning of kainos? It means it's fresh. Now, yes, that's the energy. Okay. Do you have palm trees in Ghana? Yeah, there are palm trees in Ghana. So it means in Ghana you know palm wine. All right. Let me take you further. For those of you that come from villages where there are palm trees, you will know that palm wine, the palm wine that comes fresh, that one is highly intoxicating. If you drink it, it's very sweet, but it can knock you off. The power of palm wine is in its freshness. Are you following? The power of palm wine is in its freshness. The power of your tongue is how fresh it is. Not the sound, but the kainos. All the songs we sang today in praise and worship, the ones we sang today, is this the first time you sang those songs? You sang the songs in different places. It's not that the song is old. That's not the issue. If the song is sang and it comes with a surging freshness from the Spirit of God, then you are ministering. All the songs are old songs. You know all of them. But what is the energy that the song travels with? That is the matter. It means it was handed out to you from the Holy Ghost. It will come with the freshness that accompanies that which comes from God. So when we talk about tongues, we are talking fresh. That's a measure of the tongue, not sound. So that's I don't know. I felt like passing through this. The reason why I had to do this is because there is a rising prayer revival in Ghana. And the prayer revival has not reached its zenith point yet. It's still in transit. And that prayer revival needs to be supported and encouraged. Because God wants to use the prayer of Ghana not just to heal Ghana, but to affect Africa. So everything that has to do with the intercessory spirit and the supplicatory spirit that is upon the church in Ghana now, anything that wants to resist it is not consistent with God's emphasis. So we need to bring clarity around those environments so that someone will not be discouraged in his adventure. The measure of your tongue is in its freshness and not in its sound. And all the songs we sang today were old, but they were handed out by the Spirit of God, so they carry freshness. May the Lord deepen us in freshness. Well, that's by the way. Now, The Bible reveals that we are recipients of power. We have the potential to attain to power the moment we are anointed by the Holy Spirit. Just like David was on root governance, was on root kingship, the moment what? He was anointed with oil. The problem now is this: how do we migrate from being anointed with the Holy Ghost to being anointed with power? There is a spiritual distance between the initial anointing that manifested on your life and you spoke in tongues into the full purpose for which that spiritual material was released on your life. Are you there? I said, are you there? All right. First of all, I will like us to understand that of all the gifts that the Holy Spirit makes available to us as believers, the only gift that you can use at will is your ability to speak in tongues. And I know that from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. When Apostle Paul said, I will speak in the Spirit, and I will speak in my understanding also. I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray in my understanding also. It means that he could pray in tongues at will. That's the only spiritual gift that God makes available, and you decide when you use it and how long you use it. Only gift. The question now is, why did God make that gift so user-friendly that we determine when we put it to use? It's because the investment, the spiritual capital that we receive as anointing, are you there? You are going to maximize its full potential by using that tool of speaking in tongues. How many of you, do you have refineries in Ghana? What? You do? You have refineries here. You know, for 16 years in my life, I was in the oil industry. And the first thing you are introduced to when you come into the oil industry is a substance called crude oil. Crude oil. And because of my science background, I know that crude oil is a complex mixture of hydrocarbons. But crude oil is not useful in its crude state. It's a bag of use. It's a compendium of useful items, but they are mixed together in such a way that makes it unuseful in its crude state. In order for you to find the fragments of the crude oil that is useful, you will need to subject it through refinery process. Are you there? Now, it's needful for you to understand that the anointing that came upon you is a mixture of hydrocarbons. A very complex mixture of hydrocarbons. And it is not useful in that crude state. You can only realize its use when you allow it go through the fractional distillation column, which is speaking in tongues. Stay with me. There are four words for power in the Greek language, and the word for power that was used in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, as you all know, is dunamis. And dunamis happens to have 2 meanings, if you have researched it. It's open to research. The first meaning of dunamis is inherent. Inherent ability. Inherent power. Inherent. I always use this example. When you get an Android phone, because that's what I have, Samsung Android operating system, and you want to get an application that the Android platform can use, you don't go to the Apple Store, you go to Google Play Store. When you get there and you find the application that you are looking for, you click on it, you accept their terms and conditions, then it begins to download. The moment you finish this download, and it says 100%, the application is now one with your phone. It's inherent on your phone. So you don't need to go to Google to take permission to use the application on your phone because it's already one with your phone. So part of what God did when he anointed us with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, is that he transferred the responsibility of usage of that spiritual material to us. So, okay, let me allow you to clap. Yeah. He transferred the responsibility of usage to you, so you determine when you use it, you determine how long you use it. Now, your output in your Christian life is going to be highly determined by your use of the refinery. If you pray for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes every day, that's a wonderful practice. What the Holy Ghost will do is that the energy you generate, he will spread it around your life. That's 10 minutes prayer energy. So your life will be operating with that level of energy. It will spread out. That's the level of civilization that you have accepted to operate with. If you pray for 1 hour every single day in tongues, God will create possibilities that are commensurate to your 1 hour impute. It is the use of your refinery that will determine your own scale of experience. And that's why your life is different from the life of the person that is sitting by your side. Like I told you, I labored in the oil industry for some time, at least long enough to know one or two things. When you bring crude oil, especially the one that is not heavy on sulfur, and you bring it into the refinery has... Okay. Now, there's somebody in the hall that doesn't want us to continue this meeting. The person came with something, with a god, a strange god. And we don't worship that God here. So we banish that God in the name of Jesus. Now, listen to me. You bring the crude oil, introduce it into the refinery. The fractional distillation column is manufactured in such a way that it allows for internal pressure manipulation and temperature manipulation. So as you are manipulating the crude, the first thing that comes out of the column are the associated gases, heating gas, the type that you use to cook your food, that will begin to escape. That's the first product that comes out of the complex mixture. And then when you go, you increase the temperature. Then when the associated gases come out of the column, then the first strand of liquid you will see is aviation turbine kerosene. Aviation turbine kerosene comes, I don't have the temperature in my brain anymore. All right, we've been laboring in the gospel for a long time since I retired. So when you bring it to that temperature, aviation turbine kerosene will begin to come out of the column, and then you look for a very strategic way of trapping ATK. You increase the temperature again, then a heavier product called premium motor spirit, what you call petrol, now begins to come out. The moment you detect that it's petrol, you put it into another tank, and then it will begin to go into that tank. And then a time comes again, as you increase the temperature, a heavier product will come out, which is your diesel, automotive gas oil. You trap it to another tank. And you keep going like that until the liquid phase finishes, and then solid is what you have. Asphalt, bitumen, all kinds of stuff. Now, some of you, when you speak in tongues, what you produce are gases. Now, these gases that you manufacture is not strong enough to be able to move the darkness that is around your life. So you may need to increase the temperature and the pressure in your distillation column. Hence, we always advise that you increase your prayer hours so that what you are manufacturing, what you are giving off from your refinery will be a heavier product that has the density, that has the quality that is required to do damage to installations that are fitted around your life that will need to be escalated, need to be cut off with heavy matter. So what we produce from each refinery present here is different. If I go on my knees now for like 15, 20, 25 minutes, because this my own refinery is an old one, I will produce the grace that can work miracles and do healing. Because I've been using the refinery for a long time, the heavy products, my own produces more bitumen, more asphalt. So we can use it to change things right now. So the first thing that we will advise that every believer must adopt is the culture of long prayers. There are some very wicked activities of the enemy that will linger around your life if you are praying, if you are miserly with your prayer engagement. In fact, the full potential of your spirit is in view to being realized when you are taking on an adventure of prayer that exposes you to 10 hours of prayer. Then the valves in your spirit, they open up. It's a sign of spiritual health that you were taking through long prayers like 10 hours, and you survived. It is suggestive that you are spiritually healthy. A time will come when it will be suggestive of much more than health. You begin to see, it will be easy for you to access divine direction. You just be in prayer one day and then things will begin to drop. It means that your refinery can now produce divine direction, which was an experience that you did not used to have previously. But because you engaged, you entered into another economy. And in this economy that you have found yourself, divine direction is now a possibility. It means your energy level has shifted. That's why the products that the refinery is producing has also what? Shifted. It is easy to pray for people and minister to people. It is more difficult for you to minister to a territory. Your refinery is capable of it. But if you don't program it for that kind of use, you might never command deliverances unto Jacob. So you are going to determine the extent to which you are willing to go. Let me show you a few scriptures quickly. Are you there in the book of Acts? Acts chapter 6. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." Please underline "full of the Holy Ghost." It means they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. With the evidence of what? But we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Verse 5. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. Are you there? They chose what? Stephen, what's his credential? A man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. So I'm going to use Stephen as a denominator. Go to verse 8. Jump to verse 8. We don't know the time interval between verse 5 and verse 8. But verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power. What has changed? His anointing, the Holy Ghost anointing on him, had migrated, had changed. He now has the power anointing. Are you there? So what exactly did Stephen do that changed the complex mixture? His refinery is producing power now. Meanwhile, the original investment was anointing of the Spirit, just like it is captured in the book of Isaiah chapter 61. Meanwhile, Jesus did not say you will receive speaking in tongues after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The goal was not to speak in tongues, but speaking in tongues is the means. The goal is that you are operating in a kingdom, and just like David was operating in the kingdom, and when anointing came upon him, it was an anointing to carry out a very specialized function in the kingdom. That anointing was proof that he had that potential, he had that destiny. And when he kept functioning according to that anointing, he became what the anointing was designed to empower him to become. The anointing of the Holy Spirit you receive is a potential and a means to where God wants to take you. If you know how to use your refinery properly, and the anointing will empower you to be able to operate that refinery. Are you there? Part of what the challenge we have in our refinery in Nigeria is the power question. How can we make power available? Are you with me? That problem has been answered in your own case, because the Holy Ghost that you receive is the power formula that will keep the refinery functional. So you don't have a power challenge. You can have a laziness challenge. You can have other kinds of challenges, like a gluttony challenge. The moment you start kicking the refinery, then you remember yogurt, you remember ice cream, you remember that. So you can have all that challenges, but not power challenges, because there is sufficient power to drive the refinery. Philip had migrated. The investment upon his life was the Holy Ghost, but he has realized what? Power. If you keep migrating, you begin to... That anointing, that complex mixture will give you access to another corridor within itself. And it will give you access from the anointing of power. Then you will receive what is called the anointing for intimacy. Yes, that's the third one in the row. The anointing for intimacy. When this anointing hits you, that's when you will know what worship is. That's when you will begin to receive encounters, like face-to-face encounters. Suddenly, God just begins to speak to you. You can pick your pen, and for 2 hours, it's downloading, and you're writing. That's a face-to-face encounter. In fact, sometimes, you can even say, wait, I don't understand. Can you explain this? Then he goes. You know, if you've been listening to my sermons, I have told you again and again that there's more excitement inside of your spirit than in Champions League. If you watch Champions League and you're excited, it means your life is boring. Oh, if you come into this corridor I'm talking about and you begin to experience this anointing for intimacy. I did not come out of the hotel till this evening. The receptionist called me and said, do you want us to clean your room? We said, don't worry, the room is clean, okay? It's all right. 5 minutes later, they called me again. I said, do you want us to clean your room? I said, the reason why I almost had a problem with the receptionist, and I don't even know who the person is. It's because I was deep. If you go that deep and a phone rings, you will need self-control not to strike. Now, all of these things are in God, and your access point is the original spiritual capital, which is the anointing of the Holy. Are you there? All right, let me take you back to the book of Isaiah chapter 61, then I'll begin to show you some items. As long as the refinery is functional, you are migrating. You are migrating. And very soon a different product will begin to come out of the refinery. Oh, do you know how long I prayed for power? I fasted. I said, give me power. I didn't know that the power was there. All I needed to do was just allow the refinery run. Then a time will come when the power product will begin to come out of the refinery. Now, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings. Embedded in the anointing are different types of abilities. But initially, it came as raw spiritual capital. When you begin to run the refinery, then you begin to understand the dimensions of anointings that are captured within that complex mixture. Now, you see, most of us here, you know you're anointed, but you don't know the errand that the anointing is sent to accomplish. And that means you have not used your refinery for a long time. It's a new refinery. They commissioned it new recently. When you just begin to realize, that was how I discovered this teaching and anointing. I discovered it. As I began to use the refinery, I found out that when I studied the Bible, I thought every believer was like that. And then we come for Bible study. See, this man didn't see this. He didn't see that. Then I now discover that he doesn't have that anointing. Oh. All right. We enjoyed that man's ministry. Until one day, they now appointed me to do Sunday school in the morning. When I came with you, they said, that was a mighty revelation. Meanwhile, everybody, in my own opinion, I felt everyone that opens that scripture should see those matters. Until I realized there was an anointing that was at work on my life. The first anointing I noticed was the teaching anointing. But to know what the teaching anointing was set to accomplish. Are you there? It's possible for you to have sensed an anointing, but you don't know why. Wow. I pressed further. And the Lord began to speak about a season of revival that was to come upon Africa. That revival must start from the upper room, from the throne room to the upper room. It must move through the classroom before it can go room to room. He said, give me the teaching anointing to bring people into the classroom of revival. That's the purpose of the anointing. So I can teach you about how to fine-tune your walk with God. I can teach you about how to journey through the pathways of the Spirit. The messages I teach, I've not heard anybody teach it like this. Because the anointing reveals it to me. Do you understand that? Now listen, I read a lot of books. I am a bookworm. I read books. I align with teachers. So I have basic understanding of the thought of scriptures. Do you understand that? And within that allowable, healthy crucible, I've received depths of insight to establish people in their journey with the Lord. That became a possibility. That line of service was released to me because I understood the errand that the anointing upon my life was determined to accomplish. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Some of you are intercessors, but that's not all. You're also a politician. And God is preparing you for politics. But the first anointing he launches in your life is the intercessory oil, because that's how you are going to win your battles in the field of politics. So you do not see any relationship between intercession and politics. You believe that so the package is a hybridized, intense Holy Ghost meal. That if you take it, the message will revolt against laxity, spirituality. You will just desire God. Do you understand? Is that true? So, I designed the errand of the teaching anointing and I began to develop it in that light. I knew that if we are going to build a revival generation, then the fundamentals of Christianity must be in proper places. Because some people will come and claim that God spoke to them and deceive all of us. So, are you there? So, I also majored in discipleship. How a Christian grows from infancy, the stages of development, so that nobody will come and say, Holy Ghost is here, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, and then we'll start worshiping an idol. You see, when you begin to design the nature of investment that is upon your life, you will know that you are, even though you are equally anointed with the next person, but the anointing is not the same, the mission is not the same. There are no two prophets whose callings are similar. No two apostles whose callings are the same. Did you get that? The fact that you are a prophet, you saw one prophet doing it, see, calm down. You will need to travel with God to understand your own unique expression. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He anointed me to preach a certain kind of message. It's not just generalities. There is an errand that the anointing is sent to accomplish. He has sent me to bind the brokenhearted. The opening of the eyes to them that are blind. And Jesus was very specific about the potency of the anointing that was upon His life. So if you are doing something that is not within this category, Jesus will not partner with you. Not because you are not accurate, but that is not His field. Do you understand that? Apart from the fact that in your regeneration, there was uniqueness that was factored into it. I'm also saying that in your anointing, there is uniqueness that is factored into it also. For many years, I tried to, align with, they say, okay, people started accusing me that I was a lone ranger, I was in the wilderness, and I don't associate. I said, all right, let's associate now. So, I'm telling you that it doesn't work. I tried. I saw that the anointings were different. And only God could give me a friend that is anointed similarly like me. Gideon Odoma. He gave me that friend. The moment he came, we just fit in as if we grew up together. Do you understand? Don't try to make friends. The anointing you carry has already exempted you from some relationships. No matter how you try to forge it, it will not work. It is the shape of the oil that determines who can stay around. So don't force yourself. It's not working, it's not working. Guy, it's not working. The anointing I carry makes me a Puritan. It makes me have high sensitivity for sin. Do you understand it? High! Very high! I do not only love righteousness, I hate wickedness with passion. That's how I am. I thought every believer was like that. In fact, one of the pastors that we were trying to mend a relationship, he said, please, your stand on purity. Hey, are you? That was when I knew I was the one that broke myself. When the person finished, I have since left. And that situation cannot be reconciled. In eternity, we'll reconcile. You know, Jesus will be there to reconcile us, but in time, it is gone. You know what? Are you there? Because that's how the shape is. That's how the shape is. Let you find people that compromise such issues. There are pastors like that. Connect with them. People will harmonize. We are Puritans. And I'm not like this because I chose it. That's how the anointing of me is. I don't play around. If you do other things, I'll keep quiet. If you try to do anything around purity, I will fight. Because I know that my security is in my life of purity. Anything that will affect my life of purity will affect my security. God told me that's the only thing that can bring you down. So I have built. Oh, yeah. You know, Satan plans for people. He plans. Me too, I have plans. I have plans for myself. The Puritan anointing, and it has to be like that so that we can have what it takes to challenge the darkness in territory. As I started going, I thought I was a humble teacher. I was doing all of that in a humble way, and then an anointing came upon me that made me a warrior. I didn't choose it. I became it by the anointing. If you are looking for, if there's something, there's one darkness somewhere, and you are looking for a weapon to destroy it, please come and call me. That is, the thing is very effective. The anointing upon your life is going to even change your personality. Have you read what Samuel told Saul? The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you shall be what? Changed into another man. When that anointing is operating, there is a change in your temperament. The guy you are on ground is different from the guy you are under the anointing. A different personality emerges. And if your spirit is apostolic like mine, people will think that you are boasting. They won't know those are words of authority. Coming from a kingly anointing. They won't look. I pray that God will give you the grace to model the anointing that God has committed to you so accurately that anointing will now be called by your name. You know, there was an anointing that came on Elijah. Elijah modeled that anointing so much that in the book of Elijah, the book of Malachi, the anointing was now called Elijah. I want to model. What he has given me so well that it in heaven, the anointing to be called by my name. Because it was God that said, behold, I will send you Elijah. It was God that called that anointing Elijah. It was labeled by man's obedience in modeling the impulses of that anointing so well that the anointing, heaven had to name it This one. For the light. I want you to be called by my name. I want to model it. The anointing will give you a different lifestyle. It will demand a lifestyle from you. Oh, you know, we can set up Bible study and then we'll now teach and say, okay, the life of prayer. That's the topic. Then it's, okay, first point in the Bible study is observe frequent retreats. That means once in a while you take some time off, you pray, you fast, you know, and all of that. It's still a Bible study item. There's an anointing that came on me. I couldn't mix again. Do you understand? It was not because I wanted to observe retreat. You are not following me. It's not me. An anointing came on me. That anointing began to draw me into the closet. Not because I planned it. I had no plan to be in the closet. But it's that anointing that took me there. It will shape your life. It will make you another. There's an anointing that the company you will hit every appearance of sin. You've not gone far. You'll go far. That pornography, it will dry up on you. The way the thing works is that it brings you into the closet. It isolates you so that you can call on. Meanwhile, when I now yield to the isolation and I come into the closet, you know the only prayer point that comes? Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. He can run like that for 5 hours. Have mercy on me. Have mercy. Have mercy. Do you understand? Someone will be hearing my prayer point. And when I come out, they say, what sin did you commit? Now you're asking for mercy. You don't know mercy. You don't know what it is. Have you read the Bible? It says the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. I'm not preaching to you because I'm the best. I'm not the man on the platform tonight because I'm the greatest, because I'm the best. No! God has better people. But it's by His mercy that He chose me to be here today. The anointing. The anointing can induce a hunger for Bible study, a very terrible hunger that you cannot quench. Have you gone there? I'm telling you the place in the refinery where they are heavy products. I'm telling you how that climate is there. This is your will that you think is strong. Oh, it will bend. When some things come on you, your face will be set like a flint. People will be asking you, how are you doing it? And you will know in your heart, you don't have an answer to that question. You know, a lot of people have come, even journalists. Hey, how are you doing this? As if everything is a formula. There are deep things of God that are beyond the comprehension of your little brain. A time will come where God needs to show you the support system around your ministry. Then He opens your eyes to see that there are four angels that follow you everywhere. Then He begins to teach you again. The anointing begins to teach you that when you feel this sign, it is this angel. When you feel this sign, it is that one. When you feel this one, it's this one. When you feel this, when it's on your head. What? Do you? How many of you? On your head, when you pray, you begin to feel, or some people are ministering to interpret signs. Because when God really gets ready to talk, He will give you signs. I am willing to go with you, Holy Spirit. I am willing to be one of the privileged people that will bring the gospel of your kingdom back to Africa, back to Canada, back to America, back to Europe. The anointing will propel you to begin to pray certain kind of prayers. Certain kind of prayers will begin to come through your vocal cord. You can't stop it. The burden is not because you are a prayerful person. The burden is because there's an anointing at work on your life. And it shows itself by that impression that you carry on your heart so that you don't forget your identity at any point in time. At that point, God will begin to show you how precious that anointing is. And that it's not just available. It takes generations for God to arrest a man that he can put that kind of thing upon. Then he begins to show you the things you cannot do so that this thing can be preserved. Just like gold can be stolen. Your Ghana cedis can be stolen. Anything that is precious, the thief can manipulate it. So he will also make you one of the security agents that will protect that thing that he has placed on your life. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Do you know the anointing on you? It is poured into you, but it's supposed to have an output. By the time people begin to experience the blessing that is associated with the output, you have already journeyed in the journeys of that anointing for a long time, so that it is natural for you to give off that expression, that manifestation. Your journey in God is more than the manifestation people will see. The anointing will change your taste buds to influence the kind of people that can be around you. Even when you don't want to pray, the prayer volcano can erupt inside of your heart. And you know it's prayer time. Summons. You are called from heaven to stand before God. You are called from heaven. You are in the office trying to do something, and then there are summons. And then you need to go to the toilet as if you want to ease yourself. Summons. Because you obeyed, God begins to tell you the destiny of your office. That this rock, this storm, is about to hit your office. But if you can stand with him, and that's where wisdom will speak to you. And they may not know that you are the reason why that office was spared. What I tell you are things I've experienced. Say, move there now! There's a crisis about to come. Oh! That's the anointing of a savior. When God begins to give you insight that can save a nation, save an office, save a family, all of that is coming out of that investment. But God must move you to be deliberate about using your refinery. I remember Jesus came to me. I was in a city in northern Nigeria, Zaria, and we were doing a meeting like this. And the worship became intense, and the Holy Ghost took over the worship. We began to cry. The way the Lord hijacked the meeting suggested that he was waiting for a long time for that opportunity to be given to him. And when he found it, he took over. Instantly, my eyes opened. And I saw strange things. Part of what I saw was the angel of the Lord that came to me from heaven and stood by my left side in that hall. I thought everybody could see the creature. And he said, I come with a message from heaven to you. For the Lord says you should take his presence and power to the peoples of the world. The moment he said that, I couldn't see the angel again. So it means that the refinery had reached a place. The product is manufacturing now is presence and power. That is how my supernatural ministry opened. That's how the dimensions of the supernatural opened. The refinery began to produce power. If you stay long enough, he will send you a message. Ask Donatus, people that saw us praying, they say, they thought these young men have lost their way. Instead of them to be looking for money, they are crying. They are, they said we had lost our way. In the same city, because I was needed in several places, people would send private jets to pick me. We will finish meetings in some places, they will send private jets to pick me from there to that same city where we were crying. The demand was so much that time is a problem. Private jets need to bridge the time. And I saw the kind of honor that no one can ever give you. I saw it in Jesus. I told Satan many times, you know, I will not serve you. You know, I won't serve you. So, you are short of manpower. Focus your manpower on people that don't know. People that have not decided. Not me. You will always pray with me. You will say, I speak to myself, I speak to God, and I speak to Satan. So that's my own way. Speak to Satan. You will not get me. You will not get me. We were crying. People would say, oh, see these useless boys. We didn't answer them. If you know how people try to ridicule me, they, if you can answer them, it means you are distracted. You don't know where you're going. A time came when I had that encounter and he said, take my presence and power to the peoples of the world, everything changed. The same people that insulted me, many of them have come to apologize. Some others pretend as if they didn't insult me, and they just want to engage from that point. The last discussion we had was an insult, and then you come 7 years later and say, how are you doing there? You should have started by saying, we apologize for that. You know what? If you follow him, people will change their mind about you. They'll change. They will change their mind. For the Lord says that this revival that we speak of, it will be powered by young men like you and me. Not old men that are, no, that era has passed. That's why I'm laboring tooth and nail to ensure that the real gospel gets to you. Because we are going to run this world and turn it upside down. Yeah. Oh, they said they are witch doctors in the Volta. We will humble them in a few years. The black magicians of Nogopo will see the power of God. The power. A time comes, no force can resist the energy that you generate from your refinery. And Africa, even the serpents of Africa will be arrested. I trust God that something will sprout from Kumasi. A branch of the Lord will sprout out. And nothing will be able to resist it. In the name of Jesus Christ. See, as I speak to you, those angels, they are coming now. They are coming. There are four things that you must never neglect. The first is praying in tongues deliberately, whether it is conducive, convenient or not. Pray deliberately. Pray deliberately. That's the first thing. The second thing is your walk of holiness. The Holy Spirit is a holy personality. And if you are walking with Him, He will begin to show you aspects of your life that do not glorify Him, so that you can make adjustments. Your walk of holiness is key. Hallelujah. God will bless you by righteousness, not by corruption. So if you are in an office, you have an opportunity, be right. I'm telling you, this is my life, I'm telling you. I have seen the kind of elevation from God that no man can give me. And it was by righteousness. Please help me tell your neighbor, you can win by righteousness. Number three, you must make a deliberate practice of obedience. Because the God we serve happens to be a king. And He will be giving you directives. As long as you do not consider Him worthy to be obeyed, you will never share in the authority of His kingdom. Obedience. One kind of money will come into your hand when everything is tight, and then that's when you will hear the voice of God. Give me that money. You need to be crazy to obey, but if you are that crazy, God will change your life from that one strand of obedience. God will change your life. I've seen that before. I was expecting something. The thing will help under the circumstances. Then the thing now comes and say, okay, give me that thing. I saved 1 million naira. Those days, the ancient naira, not this one. To go and marry. The moment the thing became 1 million, we were worshiping like this. And I was telling him, I have emptied everything. I'm your own. I'm holding nothing back. Then when the heart became open, then he now said, give me the 1 million. And he, I heard it. I said, no. But I had heard it. That was what we used to buy that land, that tent. The moment I obeyed, God talked to somebody else. The person was doing a savings. I said, bring all. So it was not only me. I was comforted when I saw it was not only me. That's how we bought that land. I didn't know that God wanted to give me. He didn't want me to worry about money again. And that was, that obedience opened the door. First of all, someone sponsored my wedding with twice the amount. That is 3 million. 3 million naira of those days. I gave 1.5. The wedding was 3 million. Someone sponsored it. Someone gave me a car. My first car that was air conditioned was given to me as a gift during that same wedding. Then I knew that doing business with God, hearing Him and obeying Him was better than anything I could do for myself. After that time, we have given all kinds of things to advance His kingdom, and it keeps going higher, keeps going higher. I tell you the truth, the grace is not to the swift. Do not depend on your swiftness. Allow the mercy of God take over. And you will become something that nobody in your clan, nobody in your family before you has ever been. Hallelujah. Obedience. Obedience is very, very critical. Obedience. as you hear his voice, as you perceive the things he's saying, obey. Be foolish. And you will see. Hallelujah. Finally, when you see people that are under genuine pressure, genuine pressure, not people that are trying to get money out of you. I mean, this one is stranded. And you know you have the ability with a little sacrifice to bring the person out of that situation. Make sure your hand is involved in easing men out of tight corners. The reason why God will anoint you is because someone is oppressed somewhere. And he needs you to use that anointing to bring the person out of oppression. The reason why he will make funds available. One is for his kingdom, and two is for that brother that is in a tight spot, that sister. And he needs an intervention quickly. If your hand is in their deliverance, the grace is to multiply. Many people have used their anointing to fight people, to fight destinies. Fight people that want to grow. The moment that the person is growing, they say, oh, that is counterproductive. But I want to be involved in your rising. I want to be involved in bringing you out of a tight corner. I want to be one of the people that will be there to hold your hand when you can't use your legs until your legs become strong. I want to be there. I want to be there. Hallelujah. As much as we need money to do ministry things, I will not ask you to sow a seed if God did not approve it. Never. So, you will see that few people put all the resources together for this. Those people understand sacrifice. That's the way of the kingdom. So that we won't come on the pulpit and say, how many of you can give 100,000 CD? No. The kingdom survives by sacrifice. People that understand that language, those are the people that are given the opportunity to come. And people that know the language don't want to be seen. They don't want to be known. They don't want their names to be mentioned on the pulpit. That means you are in service to God. That's how we have gone around the world with the gospel. True people that are willing to sacrifice. Do you understand? No. And they are standing as pillars. Say, anywhere you go, we'll push this, we'll push that, we'll push this. So we don't need to come here and say. When you grow to a certain level, and God sees your heart, he will give you that kind of ministry. But until you have that ministry, don't worry. Are you with me? We have a responsibility to protect the image of the gospel. Because right now, the average African believes that a preacher is a thief looking for ways to sell the anointing and to use its influence on the platform to get money out of people. For us, you are wrong. We want to be in your own story to bring you out of the corner. That's why we are anointed. And in some cases, it is not an issue of the anointing. In some cases, it's financially. It is when we get to heaven, you will know how many people were pushed through the resources that came into my hand. It's when we go to heaven. Because you won't believe it. If I take time to tell you, you won't believe it. I want to be there. My hand being that hand that God uses. And then you will know that yes, indeed, God raised people for generations. If you are still with me today, God will anoint you here. If your head has been empty, something will come on, so that you can bring help to them that are in captivity. You can bring sight to the blind. You can deliver people that have been hedged in the prison yard. It's not for yourself that God anointed you. It's for someone else that is in captivity. And God is going to anoint you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Please rise up on your feet. There's so many life commands. All right, if you are not baptized with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, come to the front. Quickly, so that we can finish this aspect. You are not baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. You can come to the front here. And the Lord is going to touch you right now. He's going to touch you right now. When you are there, When you are there. Go out through this door. Ask him, ask him. Fill me with your spirit. Alambo si compresco falla mi desaite premo conte masala babal. Alambo se ni bondolo. Si mai vesto. Aprico pastantalia. Emborrendo schizzo della mi. Vaca bella monsati. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. So he has heard your prayer. For those of you that prayed from your heart. In fact, I could feel that one of you was already speaking. So now you are going to say, I receive, Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. I receive. I receive your spirit. As this was a labranda babu. Mandoro was the cost of the money. I take a drink. In the name of Jesus. The ones that have already started speaking can go back. So I'm going to pray for you now. And the wave of His glory will pass in front here. And anyone whose heart is open, the utterance will flow out of your bosom. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, look upon your people with mercy and let them receive the gift of your spirit. 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 Yes, it's flowing now. Let them receive the gift of your spirit. Be bold. Be bold with that utterance. Let them receive the gift of your spirit. Let them receive the gift of your spirit. Let them receive the gift. 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 Be bold with the utterance. I come and no seek. Amen. Let them receive it. Let them receive it. Yes. 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 Let it flow. Be bold about that offering. Be bold. Be bold about it. I come here and be the son of
I am a man of God.
In the name of Jesus. Those of you that can speak, go back. Leave the ones that have not received. If you have received the utterance, go back. If you have received the utterance, go back. Leave the ones that have not received. Those of you that are received, when we start praying now, you can join us in your own language. You can join us in your own language and be bold about the utterance. Now, wait. I want to encourage the people in the front. Now, listen. Let me show you an example. It will help you. In the next 14 seconds, somebody will receive. I'm speaking tongues. It may be you, it may not be you, don't worry. But in the next 14 seconds, I just want to encourage you. Father, can you honor me tonight and let me? I'm not talking to the congregation, I'm talking to these guys in the front. Father, can you honor me tonight and choose one of them and fill that one with the Holy Ghost? Fill that one with the Holy Ghost. Fill that one with the Holy Ghost. Fill. Let it come strong. Let the anointing come so strong on that life so that the rest can be encouraged. Fill that one with the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, stretch forth your hand. Locate that person. 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 Let that vessel be filled. Let that vessel be filled so that the rest can be encouraged. Let that vessel be filled in the name of Jesus. Find that vessel. Okay, it's coming now. Find that vessel and let your hand come strong upon his or her life. Find that vessel in the name of Jesus. Now, you can see one here. You can see one here. That's how the hand will come upon you. If you can open your heart, it will come. So one more time, tell him, I receive. I receive. I receive. Fill me up. I receive. I receive. Father, let your spirit descend on this one. Let your spirit come upon them so strong. Let it flow. Let your glory flow through this place. Let your glory flow through this place. And let it be so. Okay, it's already flowing. It's flowing. It's already flowing. Let your glory flow through this place. And let it be so strong. Let it be so strong. Let everyone whose heart is open receive of your spirit. Receive of your spirit. Receive of your spirit. Yeah, be bold about that contrast. Be bold. Be bold about it. Be bold about it. Be bold about it. Stronger. 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 Lord, flow into this vessel. Flow. 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 Flow into the vessel. I Be bold about it. I sakomenali katane. Reko te kosi mama ta. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Those ones that have received, go back. The ones that have received, go back. Leave the ones that have not. Now, I need a simpler way to do it. And I can't lay hands on all of you. Yeah. Chief. Come. Philip. Pastor Dan. Where are your people? Pastor Dan. The people that are laboring with you too. Okay. Now, all you need to do for me is just lay hands, let them go. As you go, before we finish, you will catch up. But make contact with each one as they touch you, go. The Holy Ghost has been on you since, and you refuse. You refuse to release yourself. If the hand touches you, you can go. Do that for 10 minutes. Are you with me? Let's match up with wings like eagles. Match up with wings like eagles. Match up with wings like eagles. In view of the fact that he wants to raise a lot of intercessors among our sisters. Right? So what I want to ask is, every sister under the sound of my voice, do like this. Just lay your right hand on your stomach. Lay your right hand on your stomach. Keep quiet. I didn't say pray. I said keep quiet. Just follow it. Follow the instruction. So the one. He will choose from among you those that will be priestesses. His anointing is coming stronger. It's coming stronger. Coming stronger. Coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. Even outside and on the balcony, it's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. Coming stronger. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Identify the priestesses, the women of the altar, the women of the altar, pour out, raise a generation of intercessors, a generation of supplicators of this place. It's coming stronger. 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 I see a sister right there, and the fire of the Lord will consume you. The fire of the Lord. The fire of the Lord. The fire of the Lord. Will come upon you. It will be stronger. It will be stronger. It will be stronger. It will be stronger. Holy Ghost! Now listen. Listen. The teaching anointing, it will rest on five people. It will rest on five people. And it will be so strong on them. From my left hand side, from my right hand side, to the back of the hall, let that anointing that opens the eyes of a man to see the counsel of God, let it hit. Let it hit. Let it stay. Let it stay. Five people. Some five people. Listen to me. There is somebody that was brought into this conference, the reason why you came was because there is a regime of encounters that God wants to begin with you. A regime of encounters. It starts this night. And right where you are standing, you'll be overwhelmed. You will be overwhelmed right there. You'll be overwhelmed right now. You will be overwhelmed. Because the days of encounters, they have begun with you. The Lord wants to draw you deeper. There's somebody here. You are among the ushers. You are among the ushers. But God wants to begin something massive in your life. And the anointing is going to come upon that usher. The person is among the ushers. The hand of God will come upon you. Ushers, if you find that usher, bring that usher to me. The hand of God comes upon an usher. It comes upon an usher. It comes upon an usher. That's why I brought you. So feel her vessel. Feel her vessel. Feel his vessel. Feel his vessel. Feel her vessel. Feel his vessel. Feel them. Feel them. Feel them. Listen to me. The reason why I'm standing here is because there are people here that God wants to encounter. In fact, the people are not far from me now. So the first field of the anointing will become operational. It will become operational very soon. 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 That first field. That must be. force to you. Oh my God.
Lucy, Jesus!
You are.
Anoint your sons, anoint your daughters, 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 anoint your sons, anoint your daughters. It's coming stronger, it's coming stronger. Anoint your sons, anoint your daughters, anoint your sons. Let them prophesy. Let them see Jesus. Let them prophesy. Let them see Jesus. Let your hand be strong upon their life. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let your hand be strong. Let your hand be strong. Let your hand be strong on them. Let your hand be strong. Anoint your sons. Anoint your daughters. Anoint your sons. Anoint your daughters. Let your hand be strong. Let your hand be strong on them. Let your grip over their lives be so intense. Oh my God. He comes. He comes. His grip over your life. It will be so strong. It will be so strong. He's coming. Anoint them. Anoint her, 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 anoint her. Let your hand come stronger. Let it come stronger. Let it come strong. Let it come strong. Let it come strong for each and every one of them. Spirit. I see in the spirit a small angel dispatched from above. And this angel, he will touch somebody's eye in a moment of time. The anointing of the seer will be transferred to you. You will begin to see into the realm of the spirit. It will happen at the count of 14. 1, 2, 3. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. There's fire here.
Can we pray tonight? Can you raise your voice and pray for your family and us that God will bring about an intervention?
Serpent, a huge serpent. And that is the image of the spirit that is domiciled in a certain family. As I give the command, ushers, there will be a reaction. Father, in the name of Jesus, anyone whose destiny is held up by this serpent, in the name of Jesus, let the yoke break. Others, if you notice a reaction, let the yoke of the serpent break in the name of Jesus. Where are they? I destroy the power of that serpent tonight. I break that yoke and I command you, lose your hold. You serpent of darkness, I command you, loose them, 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 loose them. Your power will no longer hold. Because I come in the name of Jesus Christ. Loose them. Loose them. Loose them. Loose them. Loose them. The power of that serpent breaks. Can no longer hold them bound. Oh! Oh! Listen to me. Don't worry. The yoke will break this night. This is the end of that yoke. I see somebody whose captivity is linked, it's a family based captivity. Is tied to a certain river. It's tied to a certain river in Ghana. Now we are going to set you free by the power of Jesus. Father, that one in this auditorium whose bondage is tied to one of the rivers in the land of Ghana. Break! Release your captives in the name of Jesus Christ. I am sent by Jesus. I am sent by Jesus. The serpent of your captivity can no longer hold. I command the yoke to break. Now, is there any usher Sorry. Any usher that is willing to help me? Female. Help me. Come. Now, let me give you power first. Now listen, the demons are agitated. In fact, they are talking to me. Now listen, don't worry. Whenever you are casting out devils and you notice they are agitated, don't make them popular. Don't make them popular. Go, move. First of all, ignore them as if they don't exist first. They don't like that. So, they have... You see, they will shut... As I'm going now, they will be shut up. Ignore them. As I was saying, they are individuals whose bondage is tied to the waters in Ghana. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that one whose bondage is linked to the rivers of the land, I cut you off from the water. I cut you off from the water. I cut you off from the water. That I want to spend on an errand. So, but the power of God must come on the vessel. Don't worry, there'll be reactions everywhere. For this purpose was I born. For this purpose was I sent into the world. Okay, now, sister. Okay, have you recovered? Come. Put your hand on her tummy here. And pray in tongues, and you will see the reaction.
Lose her!
The reason why I'm not doing it myself, and I'm sending someone, is to show you that they can only talk.
Loser. Let the yoke break. In the name of Jesus.
Another female usher, come. Let me empower you. You can see the one that was talking now. When Jesus says, I've given you authority over snakes and serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Okay, watch this one. This is a very noisy spirit, okay? You, are you the one to help me?
Loser!
You want to talk to me? Okay, she says she has a message for me. Let's give her an opportunity to talk to me. Okay, she wants to introduce herself. You see, you will make them strong when you give them attention. So get busy. Do something else. When you deny them attention, they become wicked. Where is the lady I've been preparing? Now the demon there is on the waist. Touch, just lay your hands on her waist. And the spirit will come on. Now they are not as strong as they make noise. Someone that is bound in the congregation towards this side. Father, let that yoke break. Let that yoke break. Let that yoke break. Let that yoke break. Let it break. Let it break. Somewhere around there, you are going to see a reaction in a moment. So I called you forth from where you were kept, from the prison house where you were kept in bondage and bound. I release you from the yoke of the enemy. That which was done with your umbilical cord, the transactions that were done to bring your lineage into captivity, today. By the power that is in the name of Jesus, I break that yoke. I present the blood. I make that transaction null and void. Null and void. Null and void. Null and void. By the power that is in the blood of Jesus. Loose her! Now, this one is easier. Take me. Put it, your hand here. And pray in tongues. Just pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. I remove you from that wilderness. Gently. Lord, release some power on her so that she can help me. All right, see, here. The transaction, here. Put your hand there. Speak in tongues. Put your hand there. All right. Just keep praying. Keep praying. You want to come out? Do you want to come out? Okay, see. Let's give her time. Let's give her time. Coming up now, it's coming up. So let the yoke break. Release it. Okay. You want to come up now? You want to be free? I'm asking you, you want to be free? Okay, give me your hand. Tell Satan, say, Satan, I don't want to serve you. Tell him. Say it. Say, Satan, I don't want to serve you anymore. All right. On the basis of a confession, Satan, you have no right. Let her go. You to mount up with wings like the eagles. a very powerful feeling now. Some of the people that will rule and bring leadership to Ghana, accurate leadership, some of them are present in this auditorium. Some of them are present here. So I release grace upon your life for the journey that God has set ahead of you. You will be a repairer of the parts of Ghana in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, you see, demons are living. Demons are living. It's living. They are living people. They are living. They are living. Let them go! Sister, just touch her forehead. Touch her forehead. Let us agree in prayer for the soul of Ghana that the Lord in his visitation will deliver the nation. Oh my God. Oh my God. Can you cry? Yes. 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 Prophesy on the nation, say, Ghana, you shall be healed of your infirmity. You shall be healed of your sickness. Your full potential will be realized. Your destiny in God will be fulfilled. Arise, oh Ghana, arise, arise. In the name of Jesus Christ.